And have a seat.
All right. Thank you to everyone who has helped us in our worship this morning. It's been great to be here so far. I hope that continues. Thanks for our new praise team member, Ellie, for being here today. And we're going to actually miss Ellie and Lincoln next week. They have previous commitments, I think, and they'll be back after that. Okay. I think, Russ, you're right. This is maybe the coldest Sunday morning we've had. It's a little chilly, but I'll tell you what, I have a friend that lives in Chicago, and he said that it is really cold up there. And Al, you would know about that. He said that it was so cold that he noticed all of the politicians walking around Chicago with their hands in their own pockets. So, that's cold. All right, well, I hope you have been able to be impudent this week. Have you been impudent? I hope you remember that means that we are to pray with passion and persistence to our God. Now, I am human, and I live among a lot of humans, and I understand that prayer is often a very, very difficult part of our lives to really get moving and to really be successful. And as Eric prayed, hopefully we'll just hopefully come away from here today with a little bit better understanding of prayer and maybe a little bit more determination to get involved. I'm guessing that your prayer life may have suffered through the holidays this week and all of the busyness. But I'd like you to turn back to Luke chapter 11 as we take another look at the instruction of our Lord regarding prayer. We've rehearsed every Sunday the example of our Lord that we saw, so we won't go through that. Now we're into the instruction of our Lord that he gave to his disciples. And I would like to read again Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13 as we begin. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, "And I tell you," that's again after he had given this story about a man of impudence, passion, and persistence in crying out to his friend, "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask him?" Let's look to our Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would work in our hearts this morning, that the Word of God could be implanted into our lives and that it would grow and that it would make us change. We just pray that you would help us to be clear this morning and to accurately represent the truth of the Word of God. We also pray this morning for Mrs. Margaret Hunt, who will be moving away this week to Ohio. Father, I don't know how long she's been in this church, but I know it's been over 50 years. And she's been a face around here that was much appreciated, and we will miss her. But we do pray that all will go well with her move, and Lord, that she will soon be able to move into the nursing home that she plans to move into. Lord, we thank you for her family and for the way they do take care of her and the concern they have. But we just want to bring her before you today as a church congregation. So be with us this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are learning that we need to pray with fervency and that we need to pray now with faith. We can pray with faith. The bottom line is that we can pray with faith that our loving, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful Father in heaven can and will and does respond to our prayers. So pray. Pray more. Pray more fervently. Pray with passion. Pray with persistence. There are a lot of questions about prayer, but we have faith that our Lord, who is in heaven, loves, absolutely loves to respond to his children when they cry out to him. So pray with that faith. However, but we cannot pray with a blind faith. And what I mean by that is we cannot be blind to the truth that is presented in all of the scriptures regarding faith. The fact of life is all of us struggle with prayer. We struggle with what we call the problem of unanswered prayer. You may have come to the place in your life, or you may at one time have been at the place in your life where, if you're honest, you have become a little confused about prayer. You have become maybe disillusioned about the promises of prayer, and you've been discouraged about your prayer life. And it's possible that some of you may have even started thinking, what's the use? Why should I even try to pray? And maybe you've quit praying. You know, like you, I hear all the stories of these people who have their long prayer lists, and one by one, they're crossing those things off left and right, God answering prayers in their lives. We look at the Bible, and we see all of the Bible characters having amazing things done on their behalf. And sometimes, for me, and hopefully maybe for you, it just doesn't seem to work out that way as much. Maybe much of the time, we feel as if we are facing unanswered prayers. Maybe most of the time. But I want to say to you this morning, and in the next couple of weeks, we're going to do a lot of thinking about this. When we pray with a mature faith, that is an understanding faith, when we look at the truth of all of the scriptures regarding prayer, we can get some great help and some great encouragement in understanding unanswered prayer. I really want to talk to you as a friend talking to a friend about this. I've certainly had my struggles with prayer. I think I've read more books on prayer than any other subject. And I continue to do that and listen to men speak and write. And I'm coming to what I believe are some really helpful thoughts. So pray that the Lord would allow me to try to be able to communicate these thoughts in the next couple of weeks accurately. As I said, and as you hopefully know by now, we need to learn to pray with fervency and with faith. But I'll tell you right off the bat what praying with faith is not, okay? And we see a lot of this and hear a lot of this. Praying with faith is not waking up some morning and thinking to ourselves, oh man, I really, really want a red bicycle. Who thought that was funny? Oh, you started coughing. Okay. And so you decide you're going to start praying for your red bicycle. And you just praying all day long, Lord, I want a red bicycle. Lord, I need a red bicycle. Father in heaven, please grant me a red bicycle. And you begin to get your emotions all conjured up about this red bicycle. And as a matter of fact, you start talking about the red bicycle. And anytime you open your mouth, you're like, I need a red bicycle. It's going to be a red bicycle. God is going to give me a red bicycle. I believe it. I want it. And there comes a point where we are so convinced that God is going to give us that red bicycle, we are praying by faith that He will, that in the next morning we get up and we open the door and we believe Amazon is going to have dropped it on our porch in the middle of the night. That's not what the prayer of faith is in the Word of God. We really have to understand what a mature faith and what an understanding faith is. The foundation of praying in faith is really based a lot on what we have just read. Faith in my God is in two facets of His person. And here's the first point I want you to really understand about praying with faith. Praying with faith is the faith that God does hear my prayers and that He is fully capable and able to bring about any changes in my life and circumstances at any time. He is fully able to do that. He is fully able to bring about any change in the life of someone I'm praying for at any time. He is able, fully able, to bring any good gift my way. He is able to orchestrate an answer to my prayer concerning anyone at any time, anything, and in any place, if He so pleases. God is sovereign. And we need to understand that. And the first step in an understanding mature faith is to believe that. He is the eternal, sovereign God of the universe. Ephesians 1 tells us He works all things according to the counsel of His own will. And man, when you think about that, and when you think about all of the inner workings concerning the universe, you know, mystically weaving together His sovereign will with our prayers, and the infinite number of choices and interactions that go on with 8 billion people in this earth, it's unfathomable. And for us to think we're going to figure it all out is a little bit stupid. Probably not allowed to use that word in the pulpit, but you know, if you or I were sitting at the control panel of this operation of prayer, we would, in less than a second, we would just explode. What would you do the first time 5 prayers of believers come at you and they're praying for the same thing, but they're praying for 5 different outcomes? What would you do? I remember that happening in a church where I first was a youth pastor over in Iowa back in about 1975. I was 25 years old. And I was really new there and really new to ministry. And I remember a prayer meeting one night. And I remember this old farmer getting up. They had a little bit of a drought there in Iowa. And I remember the old farmer getting up and just crying out to God, "We need rain. Lord, please send the rain." This was like on a Thursday night. "Send it now," which would mean that weekend, right? Well, he sat down and a few other people got up and prayed their requests. And then one of the youth leaders got up, and the youth were having a big event that weekend outside. Literally happened. This youth leader got up and prayed, probably not even listening to the other guy's prayer, and said, "Lord, we need no rain this weekend. Please stop it from raining so that we can have a really nice day on Saturday, and all of this work that we've done and all of these people who've invited will come. It gets a little confusing, doesn't it? The foundation of praying in faith is, number one, believing that He is able. He's able. But there's a lot more to faith. Second thing we have to understand, particularly from what we've just read about this good and loving Father, is that a mature faith also recognizes that God is our eternally loving, all-knowing, wise Father. And there are a lot of implications about prayer in that. One well-known preacher has said, if you who can only love imperfectly give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who loves perfectly give to His children? If you who are limited in your wisdom give to your children what you think is best, how much more will your Father who is perfectly wise give the best to you as His child? He's a loving Father, far beyond the most loving father in this world. How much more, with perfect wisdom and perfect compassion and perfect mercy and grace and perfect understanding of your situation and perfect goodness, give to you? Your heavenly Father will not respond to a fish request with a serpent. He will not respond to a bread request with a stone. He will not respond to an egg request with a scorpion. The Bible just told us that. The Lord said it. But the question is, what if I ask for a stone? What does He do? What if I ask for a serpent? What if I unknowingly am asking for scorpions in my life? In other words, are there times when, as I pray, my spiritual immaturity comes in, or my spiritual blindness in some area of my life, and I am truly asking for something that is just not good for me? I may not even fathom why it's not good for me, but I'm praying for it. And how do I always know what's best over and above God for my life? Those are good questions to ask. You know, when is the last time that your child, for some of us, we have to think a ways back for that, when is the last time that your child asked you to please fix for supper some baked chicken and broccoli and a salad? More likely, they're asking for pizza and macaroni and cheese, and maybe a donut and some ice cream and cookies for dessert. Okay? I remember when I was 18 years old reading a book by C.S. Lewis. I'm paraphrasing him now, but he said, you know, we had better hope. We had better hope at times that God says no to us. As a matter of fact, we had better hope that most of the time God says no to us. He writes, if an infinitely wise being listens to the requests of finite and foolish creatures, of course He will sometimes grant, but many times refuse them. Invariable success in prayer would not prove the Christian doctrine at all. It would prove something much more like magic. And you know, that's what prayer, by the way, is becoming more and more in many Christian circles. It's magic. The Word of Faith movement, the Name It, Claim It movement that we studied about on Wednesday nights, all they are is an ancient, common trick where you take 20 people who have had some sort of amazing success and you parade them in front of everyone else and you interview them and you write books about them while the 200,000 other people sit back and wonder, what's wrong with me? I do not look from my theology to country music singers, that's for sure. But Garth Brooks wrote a song called Unanswered Prayers that I think has kind of got it right on. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish, I wished back then I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care. Because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Well, a mature faith tells us our God is able, but my God is also very loving and very wise in how he answers my prayers. Many prayers receive the answer of no. I guess the old adage is sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says I have a better idea. I'm so thankful for that. Third, a mature faith recognizes that prayer is really more about what he is doing in me rather than giving something to me. Prayer, when you look at the full spectrum of prayer, even just the Lord's Prayer, where I think 7 out of 60 words in that prayer, in the English anyway, are asking for something. The rest of it is involved in a whole lot of other things. The glorification of God, our Christian maturity, our forgiveness of sin. Prayer is much more about what he is doing through and in me than giving something to me. And I want to just suggest a couple of things that he may be doing in our lives with prayer that frustrates us or that disappoints us. And then we'll move on to next week. First of all, God may be developing in you an increasing purity. And as a result, a closeness to him, rather than simply granting all of my desires and all of my dreams and wishes. God is not our personal genie, okay? And he is not our magic wand. Or prayer is not a magic wand. He is your wise father, and he wants to grow close to you. He wants you to grow closer to him, much more than giving gifts. The relationship that children of the rich and famous have to their parents has always intrigued me. The rich and famous are always so busy and so involved in other things in the social strata that they sometimes don't have much time for those kids. But the gifts just keep on coming. I was reading a couple of gifts that the rich and famous have given to their children lately. Well, at least in the last 5 years. Beyonce. Anybody ever heard of Little Blue Ivy? I guess that's her daughter. One person in the congregation has heard of Little Blue Ivy. So for you, Little Blue Ivy is the proud owner of an 80,000 diamond encrusted Barbie doll. What do you think about that? And a bathtub decorated with Swarovski crystals, whatever those are, and a $3,500 Lucite crib. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, who I know are not together anymore, though Suri's parents divorced in 2012, both continued to treat her to amazing gifts. Katie got her a massive 2-story playhouse with running water and electricity. While Tom spent $7 million on a private jet to take his little girl on extraordinary trips. Now, the question we ask, are these kids better off? Or would they be better off having a relationship with a father and a mother? Check the Word of God carefully. Those gift-giving escapades are not the way of our Heavenly Father. He wants to build a relationship. And it's apparent in God's Word, particularly when it speaks of prayer, that disobedience gets in the way of a relationship and gets in the way of unanswered prayers. Now, I want to say here right off the top, I am not here to discourage you about prayer because you're not perfect. A little secret, none of us are perfect in this room. None of us in the whole body of Christ are perfect, but we are still called upon to pray to God. However, He wants us to grow in this area. Psalm 66 tells us, I cried to Him with my mouth, and my high praise was on my tongue, or His high praise was on my tongue. But if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. When Isaiah the prophet speaks about the complete spiritual disarray he saw in the nation of Israel at the time he prophesied, God uses him to say to these people, when you come to appear before me, who has required of you the trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Your incense is an abomination to me. Your new moons and appointed feasts my soul hates. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. And then in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And there's several more passages like that. It's pretty clear that sin that we harbor in our hearts, that we refuse to deal with, that we never confess, sin that we love, we can at least say that much, will really get into the way of our prayer life. You know, if you have a kid that continually walks in disobedience, what's that going to do to your relationship? And what's that going to do to what you want to give to him? You know, if he goes out the first night with a car and you tell him to be in at 11 o'clock and he comes back at 1 a.m., you're going to think twice. If the next time you tell him to be back, he says that's not enough time, so you tell him to be back at midnight and he gets back at 3 o'clock in the morning, what's that going to do to his privileges and after a while to your relationship? And so it is with our God. Now, I'm not wanting to create spiritual prayer paranoia, but we need to always be striving to grow and to walk in greater obedience, always reflecting upon these things. John 14:21, whosoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We've spoke about this verse a few weeks ago, so I'll just read it. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay? When we walk in obedience, our relationship with God develops. It's closer. He reveals, manifests himself to us in unusual ways. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There's a lot to talk about in this verse, and we will look at it next week. But how many of the children of the rich and famous who basically have been given a blank check as a substitute for true love cry out for real love and long to have a real relationship with mom and dad, spending time with them, even struggling with them, learning to obey them, getting on track. That's what God may be doing with you. And I'll close with this one. He may be developing just a greater spiritual maturity in my life rather than a life of comfort. I think this is one of the areas in prayer and one of the areas in our Christian lives as Americans where we have it all backwards. We are, by habit, comfort creatures. We love to be comfortable. Comfort foods, wow. I looked at a list this week of the top 10 comfort foods. I wonder how many of these are on your list. Chocolate pudding, cheeseburgers, tomato soup. I was surprised at that one, but that's one of my favorites. Baked ziti. Number 6, dumplings. Number 5, pizza. Number 4, cheap, inauthentic tacos. Number 3, macaroni and cheese. Number 2, mashed potatoes. Who can guess what the number 1 comfort food in America is? Toasted cheese. Grilled cheese. Do you notice that 6 out of the top 10 have cheese in them? You know, we have comfort. Comfort is constantly marketed to us. I mean, from the day you're a baby, you have to have the perfect diaper, whether you're male or female, whether you're this or that. I mean, they've got 100 different styles of diapers out there. Man, we used to just get those cloth diapers on our kids and poke them once in a while with those pins. My Pillow. I am so tired of hearing about Mike Lindell talk about My Pillow. However, Cody, have you found My Pillow yet? Forget Mike Lindell's My Pillow. I have My Pillow for my comfort, and I have been 7 days without it now. It's somewhere over at Cody's house. And I have not been sleeping well, Cody. Thank you. A lot of our prayers, unfortunately, are, I guess, what we could call comfort praying. You know, we pray for things, you know, that'll make me feel good. That my day will work good, that things will work out better for me. Man, I remind you, I remind you about 7 things on here. I got to cut this back. Take a look at the prayers of the persecuted church. Someone once asked a leader of the persecuted church in China, how are the prayers of your people different than the prayers of the people in America? And he quickly and without hesitation said, people in America are always praying, get me out of this trouble. We pray, get me through this trouble. Get me through this trouble. Great things can happen in us and through us when we are made at times more uncomfortable. John Piper says we can't help but have unreal romantic imaginations and expectations about what God's answers to our prayers will be. We're often unprepared for the answers we receive from God because his answers frequently do not look at first like answers. They look like more problems. They look like trouble. They look like loss, disappointment, affliction, conflict, sorrow, and increased selfishness. They cause deep soul wrestling and expose sins and doubts and fears. They are not what we expect, and we often do not see how they correspond to our prayers. I hope that we haven't brought you to the place where now you say to yourself, well, why should we even pray then? If God is completely sovereign and God is in complete control and he is a very loving, wise father who's not going to do me harm, why should I pray? Come back next week. I don't mean to be silly about this and to try to throw out some crazy tease because I know that you probably will be here anyway, but we're going to talk, I hope, very clearly about these things. Prayer is so much about developing a relationship, developing dependence. And what I really want to share with you next week is how you can learn to see the invisible and to see the eternal. When you are able to do that, you will understand prayer to a great extent. And that says it's time to quit. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the opportunity we've had to just scratch the surface, Lord, on prayer. But Lord, take some of these thoughts and plant them in our hearts. Help us to understand the amazing way in which you do work in our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.